Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be looking specifically at verse 12 down to verse 19, and then we'll close by looking at verse 20, 21, 22. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 19. It pleased the Father, God Almighty, it pleased the Father that in Him, that is the only begotten Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of God. Look down at, right across the page, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. He is the head. He is Lord. Now I'm taking the title for the message from those words in verse 19. All fullness dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is according to the wise and eternal decree and purpose of Almighty God, that all the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of deity would reside in that man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of salvation is in Him and wrought by Him. All of redemption is in Him and by Him. And totally accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. By Him alone we do have salvation. If you look at chapter 3, verse 11, it says in regard to salvation and redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ is all and in all. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything God has for any sinner is found in Christ. That's why we count all things but loss that we might win Christ and be found in Him. You remember our message from a couple weeks ago. Now, by way of introduction, again, the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome for 2 years for the gospel's sake. And the Lord was pleased to give him these 6 prison epistles. What was he doing those 2 years? He was writing by inspiration what God gave him. The book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon are all epistles while Paul was in prison, writing them out to God's people. And think about it. What he received from God there in prison and wrote down has been preserved for us. And you right now, you hold the Word of God in your hand. What a blessing God has given to us. By the good and sovereign providence of God, we're blessed to have the very Word of God given to us. And we have the privilege of reading it and studying it. Now, as far as we know, Paul spent 3 years there in Ephesus, a neighboring city to Colossae, preaching the gospel. But he never actually, as far as we know, written in the book of Acts, where it records their preaching, he never actually was physically in the city of Colossae and preaching the gospel there to them. That's why I read there in chapter 2, he says, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, but yet they heard the gospel. Either somebody went there and preached to them, or many of them probably came from Colossae and Laodicea, that Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years and they heard him preach the gospel. No doubt this man that's mentioned in verse 7, Epaphras, also learned the gospel listening to the Apostle Paul while he was there in Ephesus preaching the gospel. The hope, he said, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word, the truth of the gospel, he says there in verse 5. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the gospel, the word of truth. Now, I hope to be able to bring a message in these next few weeks from each of these chapters, like we did in the book of Philippians 1, 2, 3, 4, and then in Colossians 1, 2, 3, 4. And later on we'll do a study verse by verse through Galatians and Ephesians, and after we do finish up with 2 Corinthians. Beginning at verse 9 in Colossians chapter 1, all the way down through verse 17 is one complete sentence. One complete sentence. And it consists of the Apostle Paul praying for them and giving thanks to God for them being a believer, being a saint of God, believing the gospel of God. Notice he said, we pray for you. Look at verse 3, Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Again, down in verse 9, he says, for this cause also, since the day we heard of your faith, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he prayed for them. But he also says this. Turn over here to chapter 4. Chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 2. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. And then he said, pray for us. Pray for me. Praying also for us that God would open unto us a door, an effectual door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in prison. I'm in prison because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great privilege the Lord gives us to pray unto the Lord and to call out upon the name of the Lord and to cry unto Him. That's what true prayer is. It's a sincere cry of the heart, laying out your request, your need before God Almighty. Now, beginning at verse 12. We do as believers give thanks unto our glorious God, who is the originator and fountainhead of all blessing. Notice verse 12, giving thanks. Prayer is not only making your request to be made known, but it's also thanking God for the mercies that we receive. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet or fit or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we know, He taught us. He taught us everything we know. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Everything we know, He taught us. We give thanks unto the Father. Everything we know, He educated us. Everything we have, He gave it to us. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everything we are or ever will be is by His grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. In everything we are to give thanks. Turn just one book over. Find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. Our Lord said, men ought always to pray. And His people do. We have a constant cry unto the Lord. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, rejoice evermore. But we have a lot to rejoice about, don't we? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. What a privilege God has given unto us to pray unto Him and to thank Him. Now watch this. Look back at verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. And these verses just, I love these verses as a preacher of the gospel because they preach themselves. They just preach themselves. All you got to do is read them and just look at them and meditate upon them. We don't really need to make any comment upon them. Giving thanks to the Father who made us. And that word meet, M-E-E-T, is the word fit, qualified. How would this sinner be fit and qualified to stand before God in judgment and be accepted of Him? Only in the Beloved, being accepted in the Beloved. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us fit, qualified to be a partaker. One who receives all things as the inheritance of His grace. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, which is Christ. He made us qualified to have this good hope of salvation in Christ. Notice the hope we have, verse 27. This hope of salvation is not just a wish. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. The hope we have is a good hope through grace. In this first chapter, verses 4 and 5, it mentions those three blessed things that God gives us. Since we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, and the love you have to all the saints, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and for the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. We have a good hope. What? We have a good hope through the grace of God. The hope we have is not a hope, a hope, a hope. It's not a shot in the dark. It's a good hope through grace, the grace of God. By nature, we are totally what? Unfit for His presence, aren't we? There's none righteous, no, not one. We're totally unfit to dwell in His presence. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what He does for us? Look there again at verse 22. He said, at one time you were enemies, verse 21, alienated by wicked works, yet He now reconciled us in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Now, He's the only one that could make us meet, fit, and qualified for His presence. You remember over in the book of Jude where it says He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion both now and forever. So He made us, look back at verse 12 again, He made us meet, fit, and qualified to partake of this inheritance. Now, an inheritance is not something a person earns. An inheritance is something a person receives. And we have this inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a heavenly inheritance. Now let's read about it. Find 1 Peter chapter 1. This inheritance we have, being heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, he said verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So what we have is an eternal inheritance, an eternal blessedness in Christ. Now, stay right there in Peter and find 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, again he talks about being a partaker of this divine nature. Verse 3, according as His divine power, this is 2 Peter 1 verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that's the promises of the gospel, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have in Christ an eternal inheritance by His grace. He's made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. Been made an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Now, look at verse 13. Who? He not only made us meet, fit, and qualified to partake of these blessings. Who also? Who hath delivered us? He blessed us, as He has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, or the Son of His love. Now, who delivered who? We didn't deliver ourselves, nor did we make ourselves fit to be a partaker of this inheritance. He did it all. He did it all. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He delivers us by the power of the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. He delivered us. He delivered us. God, who commands the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Look at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. We were by one time darkened, dead, alienated. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants, having no hope and without God, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Who delivered who? He delivered us from darkness and ignorance by the power of God. He commands the light to shine in our hearts, we might see the glory of God that shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We were and are by nature spiritually blind. He gives us light that we might see Him. We are by nature spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin, and He gives us life. You hath He quickened who were dead. He quickened us by His grace, by His power. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Talking about how He's made us. He's given us life and light. Light and life. And you, Colossians 2, verse 13, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, having spoiled all principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them Himself. By Himself, He purged our sin and put away our sin. Now back to verse 13, Colossians chapter 1. He made us fit. He's given us an inheritance. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. And then He translates us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, how'd you get from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son? How'd that happen? It just wasn't an accident. It happens by God's purpose and grace. He put us in Christ according to His good pleasure. The Lord put us in Him by His electing grace. He chose those covenant people in eternity. Paul writes about it when he said, we're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read about it. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. How'd you get in Christ? He put me in Christ. When did that happen? Let's read about it. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us. You remember He made us fit? He made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. See, the point is being made here that salvation is all of God. He chose us. He redeemed us. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, and He put us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's all of His grace. All of His grace. Look at verse 14, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have, right now, we have in possession, right now, we have redemption. What is redemption? Deliverance from all our sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, what does a sinner need? He needs forgiveness of his sins. How is sin put away? Certainly not by anything we do. Salvation is by the grace of God, and sin is put away only by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from all their sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, it says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption. You see, everything that we have read right here, everything we have read gives God all the honor and glory for the salvation that's of the Lord. It's all in Him, and it's all by His grace. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, how many sins have you committed? How many sins have you committed? You can't even number them. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin, past, present, and future. We have complete redemption. So much so, you know how complete and full the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ really is? God said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. He separated them as far as the east is from the west, cast into the depths of the sea, cast behind His back, blotted out of the thick cloud. That's what the Scriptures teach. Now, who did all that? Look at verse 15. Who did all that? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Now, who can do such things as this? Deliver us and make us partakers and make us fit and qualified. Who can put away sin? The blood of bulls and goats cannot put away sin. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Who alone can put away sin? God Almighty, who is the image of the invisible God, the exact likeness of the invisible God. You remember the book of Hebrews? If you will find Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, where it talks about God has spoken to our fathers by the prophets. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. We'll talk about that in a minute. He's the creator of all things, who being the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. Upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see what He's saying there? Turn back to the text again, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? We read in John chapter 1, the Word that was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's who He is that gives efficacy and power to His blood atonement. You remember from Acts chapter 20, when Paul is preaching to those elders at Ephesus, and he said to them, "Feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God Almighty, the eternal God, and He yet manifests in the flesh in the fullness of time. Now, we have a description in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We have a description of who He is. He is the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. God is spirit. And He is the firstborn of every creature. You see that? He's the firstborn of every creature. What does that mean? That means that He is Lord. Firstborn, the firstborn son is the heir of everything the Father has. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. That is saying here and declaring the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord over all. The Father loveth the Son and given all things into His hand. He's the firstborn of every creature. Now, here's what He's saying. He's Lord of lords, King of kings. He's the Lord and King of every creature. He is every man's Lord, whether they acknowledge it or not. One day they will. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But He is the Lord of everything. Every creature and everything. He's going to talk about that in the next verse. This same Jesus, you remember Peter at Pentecost, this same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. This is what we own as believers and love and confess as believers. We bow and submit to His lordship, His sovereignty over all things. We love His sovereignty because we love God who is sovereign over all things. Now look at verse 16. Being that He is the invisible God, that He is the image of the invisible God, that He is King and Lord of all things, for by Him all things were created. All things were created. You look at the creation. It's created by the word of His power. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. For by Him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, things visible, things invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Now that's an exhaustive list, is it not? All things were created by Him and for Him. Hold your place there and turn back to Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1, he repeats this. All things were created by Him and they serve His purpose. Ephesians chapter 1 again. Look at verse 19. What is exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in us, wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You see what He's saying here? Look back to the text. For by Him were all things created. We read in John chapter 1, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him, created by him, and all things visible, invisible, thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things serve his purpose. Look at verse 17. For by him, for he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You ever notice the order in this universe? The order is exact, is it not? How does all the universe, how is it held together? How is it all in exact order? The orbit of the earth and the orbit of the planets. And everything happens. Morning, evening, darkness, light, springtime, winter, summer, fall. All these things are exact. How does all this happen? It's not Mother Nature. It's not Mother Nature. It's God Almighty. You see what he says there? He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist means held together. He is the order of all things. When it rains, he brings the rain. When there's a wind, he's the cause of the wind. When there is a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake, he's the first cause of all things. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things were created by the word of his power. He's the heir of all things by whom the worlds were made. All things were created by him and for him. You cannot be a believer and believe in evolution. You cannot be a believer and believe in evolution. My friend, many of you know John Chapman, he said this. He said, the reason that fallen men like to think they believe in evolution, he said, it's easier for a fallen sinner, a fallen man, to look at a monkey and say, look how far we've come, rather than a fallen sinner to look at God and say, look how far we have fallen. You see the difference? To look at a monkey and say, boy, we're making great progress, rather than look at God Almighty, who is holy, eternal, sovereign, and say, look how far we have fallen. That's true. That's true. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. That's Revelation 4, verse 11. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head, verse 18. He is the head of the body. Every body needs a head, right? What does your body have? Your body has a head. If your body doesn't have a head, your body is dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is our living head. And the only reason our body, the church, has life is because of the living head. You see what he says there? He is the head, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church. You see, what's true of the head is true of the body. Where the head is, that's where the body is. That word church means called out. We're the called out. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Who is the beginning? In the beginning, God. He's the firstborn. He's the Lord of every creature. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. God has so designed and fixed everything that he must have the preeminence. That word preeminence, it means simply the first place, the chief place, all the honor and glory. God has so fixed creation, providence, and salvation all to his glory. Now, look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father, that in him all things should dwell. The Lord put all of salvation, God the Father put all of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read again Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Believers are complete in Christ. Now that means out of Christ, I'm incomplete. That means in Christ, I'm complete. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. That's what we read a moment ago. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20. Having made peace. He made peace for us through the blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Saving faith always continues in the faith. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which is preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now, I want to close by reading this, and I want you to turn and read this with me. He reconciled us unto God. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll let you go with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You take this home with you and think about these things, where it says that we were enemies by our wicked works, yet He made peace for us. He reconciled us to God. Let's read about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. All things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And hath given to us this ministry of reconciliation. Now what is reconciliation? It's the opposite of separation. Our sin has separated us from God. How are we going to be reconciled? He reconciled us unto God. He brought us together. Look what it says. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, namely, that God was in Christ. He reconciled the world unto Himself. Now he's talking about the world of His people, His elect, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Our sin was imputed to Christ, and hath committed to us this word, this message of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, now be you reconciled. God's reconciled. As my pastor used to say, now lay down your shotgun. Submit. Bow to the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 21. Boy, this is a tremendous verse. For God made Him to be sin for us. God made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He was a sinless God-man. God made our sin to meet on Him, that we might be made, who knew no sin. God made Him sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, how righteous do you need to stand? How righteous do you need to be to stand before God? As righteous as God. How can that be? Only as you win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Philippians 3:9. Aren't those great verses?